So Charles Blow takes great umbrage at Jeb Bush saying that the message of the Bush campaign is one of being able to get opportunity, being able to dig in and rise to the occasion. Basically, Charles Blow felt that the free stuff comment, I saw it over the weekend too on Twitter, Governor Bush said our message is one of hope and aspiration. It isn't one of division and get in line and we'll take care of you with free stuff. Our message is one that is uplifting, that says you can achieve earned success. Isn't that the kind of message that Americans cheer? I know I do. Evidently, that was an offensive comment to Charles Blow of the New York Times, which perhaps shows you how out of touch some of these media elites are. Let's welcome on our guest line. Republican candidate for president in 2016. He served as the 43rd governor of Florida from 1997 to 2007. We welcome back to the Mike Gallagher Show, Governor Jeb Bush. Hey, Governor, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Mike. Hope you are as well.
We sure are. Busy time, lot to keep up with. And, you know, one of the chores, one of the challenges that the voter has is to sort of strip away all the layers of the agenda that the media elites have and see a comment like the one you made in response to the question about, you know, optimism for this country and lifting people up in South Carolina. And then you pick up the New York Times and there's Charles Blow basically accusing you of a racial condescending thing. What was racially condescending about your message that it's one of hope and aspiration, not just giving stuff away?
Look, that's nothing's wrong with it. In fact, that's how we win. The question was why don't we do better amongst African American and other communities?
Right.
And the answer is that if we're the grievance party, if we're appealing to people's angst and to their fears, we're never going to win. That we need to remind ourselves that we win when we have serious plans to lift people up. That we should give people a sense, because people don't want to be stuck wherever they are, in the middle or at the bottom. They want to have the tools to achieve earned success. And so, you know, in a 2-minute answer, taken out of context,
sure,
one statement, part of it, that's just the way the left plays, because they're out of ideas.
They're running out of ideas. I mean, the good thing about this field, and obviously you're a significant part of this, is the American people are seeing a bunch of Republicans who seem to have rock-solid ideas to get this country back on track again.
That's what, and that was the meeting, which, by the way, I got huge applause for this. And this was not appealing to conservatives. This was saying, how do we take conservative principles and reach out to other groups?
Sure.
That's what people want. And I can do that based on my record as governor, where we cut taxes and we have a tax reform package that I'm excited about because it'll create growth opportunities, how we regulate the energy revolution in our midst. All these things will create opportunities for people. And we should be on the side of people that really feel like the system isn't working for them. But if we fix these things, they'll have the same chance that everybody else has.
As you know, Governor, Speaker Boehner's resignation sort of sets up a battle for new leadership in the GOP. Maybe some of your thoughts about Speaker Boehner's decision to step down. Were you shocked? Did you see it coming? And what do you think about the choice, the presumptive choice of Kevin McCarthy?
I was surprised that Speaker Boehner resigned. And frankly, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure he would have gotten through the mess of continuing resolution and the debt ceiling issues.
Right.
But I think he felt like if he takes a step back, perhaps it would be easier for the Republicans to unite again, which we need to do. I don't think we need to be telling Americans over and over again that we can solve problems without a Republican president, without a conservative president. It's not going to happen with Barack Obama. You're not going to do the things we want to see happen unless you have a Republican president. And right now, we don't. We have the most progressive liberal president in modern history, and he is acting on his core beliefs, using executive powers he probably doesn't have across the board.
Right.
And that's what the focus ought to be on.
Governor, I hear from people day in and day out, when you mentioned the continuing resolution debate and the issue of Planned Parenthood and defunding Planned Parenthood and the prospect of a government shutdown, you hear it. I know you hear it in your campaign rallies and the emails and the tweets that you get. People are so frustrated at Republicans who won't fight for something as important as the sanctity of life. And you've got an organization like, now we see that Nancy Pelosi is calling for the group that exposed Planned Parenthood with these videos to be investigated. Not a big surprise, I guess. What do you say to concerned Americans who want a president who will fight on behalf of the unborn, who would pledge not to give one dime of taxpayer money to an organization like Planned Parenthood? Are we barking up the wrong tree?
Not at all, I think. But again, it requires presidential leadership. In 1988, Ronald Reagan interpreted Title X, which is the funding source for a majority of Planned Parenthood's money, right, to include direct and indirect funding so that you can't supplant the money, which is what's going on today. And the courts upheld that decision. If I'm elected president of the United States, I will apply the Reagan rule to Title X interpretation, and Planned Parenthood won't get a dime. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to do. Shutting down the government actually doesn't change the fact that even in a shutdown situation, Planned Parenthood will get money. Right. This is part of a process, you know, that may help a few people look like they're fighting. But the simple fact is, it won't change anything. We need to elect a Republican president with a Republican Congress, and then you can make a pretty bold assertion and make sure it's accurate that they won't get a penny, nor should they. 330,000 abortions are taking place inside of Planned Parenthood clinics. That's a third of all the abortions in the country. And it's just shameful. I defunded Planned Parenthood when I was governor, and we created an environment that was much more respectful of life. We increased adoption. We allowed parents to be notified when their teenage daughter was thinking about having an abortion. We eliminated the partial birth abortion issue. We were the only state, I believe, to fund consistently crisis pregnancy centers using state monies. There is a way to do this, but it requires leadership, and it requires a president in Washington, D.C.
There are a lot of headlines made. The current frontrunner, Donald Trump, was on 60 Minutes last night. Did you see the 60 Minutes piece? And second part,
I didn't.
You didn't see it? What do?
I don't wake up looking at waiting to with bated breath to watch Donald Trump on TV.
I can appreciate that. But nonetheless, both Donald Trump and Ben Carson now, according to the latest NBC poll, are on top. There's definitely a lot of work to be done on the part of more traditional politicians than a retired neurosurgeon and a real estate mogul out of New York City, huh?
Yeah, look, it's a long-haul process, and Donald Trump is now going to propose reforms on health care and taxes, apparently, and he's talking about effectively having the government guarantee health care insurance for everybody. That sounds kind of like Obamacare to me, but it'll be better and it'll be bigger and it'll be fancier or whatever. But the simple fact is, he's going to have to be held to account. He's the front runner, and he has to be held to the same standard that all the other candidates are. And we've laid out comprehensive plans, particularly on taxes and regulation, that would help jumpstart the economy. And healthcare under Obamacare is a job killer and a wage suppressor. And we need to repeal it and replace it with something that is much more relevant to the 21st century, where it's portable, where it's low premium, catastrophic coverage, and where people have a chance to make more of their healthcare decisions directly with their doctor. That's what we need. And I'm looking forward to that debate with Trump or Carson or anybody else.
Well, here we come again. The next debate, I guess, will be here before you know it, although it feels like the presidential election is about a week away, doesn't it? Isn't this a strange cycle that all of this has begun as early as it has?
Well, there's so much coverage on the here and now, you know, who's winning, who's losing, crisis moment. It's the tension that's created, and then you get to comment on it.
You sound pretty calm, though, but, despite it all.
Yeah, well, because it's not even October.
<That's true. laughs> So
the simple fact is, we've got a long way to go, and political months in political campaigns are like years. Right. So this is kind of like dog years. We've got a long way to go, and sticking with it, being true to who you are, giving people a sense you have the leadership skills to fix things. I'm not a creature of Washington, but I know how to fix Washington because I got to do it in Tallahassee, and I'll keep working my side of the my lane, and I'm confident that I'll be one of the people in the end that's contesting the Republican nomination and winning.
Governor Bush, we always appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us here on the Mike Gallagher Show. All the best.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank
Take
you,
care.
Sir. Take care.